This is the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, the three worlds. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God's Word. Conditions in the world are very severe. Trouble between nations and trouble within nations. It appears that the very existence of civilization is being threatened. And you know how many letters we receive asking if the crime and dope situations are not evidence that the end of the world is near, and that soon atomic energy will blow the earth to bits, and so forth. But first, I must tell our friends that this Bible Answers program comes through the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with the Friends of Frank and Ernest, and by many Bible study classes. Now, Ed, back to our question regarding the end of the world. Does the Bible teach that this earth will soon be destroyed because of the wickedness that exists on it?
No, it does not. In fact, the end of the world, as you term it, is man's only hope of survival. I notice you use the words world and earth as though they mean the same thing.
Yes, I did. Don't they?
Well, far from it, Russell. There is a distinction. We speak of the chaotic world, but we don't mean the earth is chaotic. True, we might say that the world is round and be referring to the globe, but as you know, we also use the word world when referring to a social order.
You are saying that the prophetic end of the world is simply the end of a social order?
Yes. The Greek word cosmos is used in the prophecies pertaining to the end of the world, and this word means the system of things. When used in the Bible, it usually refers to a social order. It was this word that the Apostle John used regarding Christians, saying that they should not love this world, neither the things of the world.
Well, I will agree. In that instance, he didn't mean the earth, for our globe is God's creation. God surely wants us to love the beautiful things of his creation. That I am sure of.
And how right you are, Russell. Jesus had the same thought when he said to his disciples that he called them out of the world.
He didn't call them out of the earth. I get your point, and it's a good one.
Well, Jesus also said to his disciples that in the world they would have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, for he had overcome the world.
And Jesus was referring to the selfish and sinful social order.
Quite true, Russell. And we use the word in the same way even now. We say, for example, that if the spirit of the world gets into the church becomes worldly.
And are all the evil things with which we are surrounded a part of the present evil world?
Indeed they are, including wars, sickness, and even death. That is why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven." Russell, the answer to that prayer will result in the prophetic end of this world. For when Christ reigns, it will mean that a new world, a new social order has been established.
That's a very nice thought, Ed. Thank you for it. But there are some more points to be cleared up in my mind. The Apostle Peter wrote that the earth and all the works therein are to be burned up. What does that mean?
Well, Peter also mentions a heavens and an earth which existed at the time of the flood. He describes that heavens and earth as symbolic of the social order which came to an end in the flood.
The sun and the moon and the stars and the earth still exist. We all know that. They were not actually destroyed by the deluge. So, what does it mean?
It means that Peter is using these terms in a pictorial manner. The word earth, for example, is often thus used in the Bible. In the prophecy of Daniel, we're told of a great beast that devoured the whole earth. In this case, both the beast and the earth are symbolic.
I can see how the earth could very well symbolize organized society. But what is illustrated by the heavens?
Well, what we call a social order and what the Bible calls a world has both material and spiritual aspects. Now, as we know, all life on this earth is subject more or less to the influences exerted upon the planet by the heavens. The moon is a large factor in controlling the tides, and our temperatures are influenced by the sun. These are higher powers which exert a tremendous influence over the lives of those who live on the earth.
Yes, I am convinced that that is true. And again I ask, what does that illustrate in Bible study?
Well, simply that in our social order there are both civil and religious aspects. Both work together to maintain civilization.
And yet, the Bible, you say, speaks of this present evil social order as a world.
Yes, and carrying out that same thought, we might speak of the world before the flood as the world of yesterday, and the present one as the world of today, and then there is the world of tomorrow. And that, come to think of it, is the way they are described in our book entitled God's Plan. I have a copy of that with me, and just notice here, Russell, on page 8, how the three worlds in the plan of God are illustrated.
Sure enough, that's very good. This little diagram certainly helps one to get the thought clearly in mind, and as I understand it, we are living close to the end of this second world.
And Russell, that too, you will notice, is illustrated in the chart in our book.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have the subject of the end of the world made so plain as it is done in these charts.
Russell, all the great truths of the Bible are easily understood when we approach them from the right standpoint. It will be in God's world of tomorrow that mankind will be reconciled to Him and when lasting peace will be established.
And Ed, I notice another chart here. It speaks of mankind being lifted up to human perfection and to everlasting life. And I notice it speaks about a new heavens and a new earth. What does all this mean?
Well, those terms are used symbolically to describe the spiritual and human phases of God's new world. The new heavens will be the new spiritual powers, Christ and His church.
And the new earth, Ed, will be Christ's kingdom right here on this planet. That is your thought, isn't it?
That is indeed my thought. But we can't get into that now. However, the plan book makes the matter plain and gives scriptural proofs. Everyone may have one. Russell, suppose you tell our listeners about the plan book and how to get one free.
Surely, Ed. There is something very satisfying in the thought that God has a plan which is progressing in an orderly manner toward a glorious consummation in the blessing of all nations with peace and everlasting life. And friends, the plan book presents a clear outline of the divine arrangements for redemption and the salvation of the human race. Yes, it is an outline that is illustrated by enlightening charts, which makes each point very easily understood. In this little book, you will find such questions answered as, why was it necessary for Jesus to die? Where will Christians be in the resurrection? How do we know that believers and unbelievers have an opportunity for salvation? How do we know that the unbelievers will have an opportunity for salvation after death? Jesus said that in his Father's house there are many mansions. What are these mansions? Where are they? Who dwell in them? These questions suggest but a few of the interesting and vitally important truths you will find discussed in the Plan book. Thousands have testified that an understanding of the plan of God has made the Bible like a new book to them. So send now for the Plan book. It is free, of course, and will be sent to you by mail. To get it, simply address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the Plan book. Just the one word plan is all you need to remember, and it will be sent to you free by mail and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.